live from White Plains Hospital Medical and Wellness in Armonk. You are listening to Westchester Talk Radio, produced by Shaw Creative. This is Health Talk, made possible by White Plains Hospital. My next guest, a doctor of pediatrics. Please welcome to our microphones Ellen Less. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's nice to meet you. And of course, you've been a pediatrician. You've been in the area for a while, haven't you? How long? How long have you been
this? I've lived in Armonk about 13 years or so. Yeah,
okay.
13 years.
And you
thinking about my kids and how old they are.
You've been here the whole time?
Yeah. At the White Plains Center here?
No,
I was working up north a little bit before this.
Okay. Now, you have your own children. What ages?
Yep. I have two boys, 15 and 11 and a half.
What's it like working on your own children, or do you not do that?
No, I do actually sometimes. Not when they were younger, but now they're kind of okay with it, and even with giving shots, they just kind of let mom do it, and they're fine with it.
Mom's going to stick me with a needle. That's pretty scary. The first question, and I told you that I didn't want you to see it coming. As a parent and as a grandparent raising a couple of kids, these infants get these fevers that are worse on the parents than they are on the children. We're going to get to the basics of what you do, but every parent listening is saying, yeah, Bob, ask that, please. 104, you're ready to throw them in an ambulance, you're running around the house. What is that? Why are these high fevers?
I mean, kids are just a little bit more susceptible to them. For the most part, they're okay. I mean, they're usually viral. Usually the higher the temperature you see, believe it or not, is going to be viral. And we usually just have, you know, we explain to the parents as far as giving the antipyretic medication, Motrin, Tylenol. Most importantly, you know, keeping the baby hydrated. And just explaining to them that, you know, it's probably okay, but they should always come in and, we'll take a look at them.
I was sicker than my daughter.
Well, it's very worrisome. You see the baby crying and upset and coughing.
Warm on their bodies. I mean, it's nuts.
Right.
They would give off that heat. And why is it, after you give whatever the anti-fever medication is, they've got this sweat and then they cool off. Is that all part of the process?
Yeah, it's just part of raking the temperature.
Good grief. All right, let's get into generally what you do. Now, how can parents know the difference, let's say, between an everyday cold and something more serious?
So, I mean, a lot of things overlap. You know, an everyday cold, for the most part, the child's going to look okay. They have a runny nose, a cough. They can have fever, even the 104, because that's a cold is caused by a virus. Mm-hmm. And a virus is going to give you, you know, really high temperatures. But again, usually the child, they look okay. They're staying hydrated. Once the medicine kicks in, if you give them Tylenol or Motrin, they're, you know, up and playing and running around the house at that point again. So if it's a little bit more serious, the child maybe might not react as quickly to the medicine, might be coughing a little bit more, might be sleeping a little bit more, and that's when the parents want to call us.
Well, this loops back to my original question. When do we know to call the doctor? I mean, in the beginning, we're a little panicky. We call every 5 minutes. I'm sure you're used to that.
Right.
But when can we make that decision, and what signs do we need that compel us to come see you?
I mean, I think every parent, you know, it's a lot of times it's individual. A lot of parents are going to, you know, they're going to know after a little while the pattern of their child. They're going to know, oh, my child gets the high fever. And so it might not worry them as much. I think if you haven't really experienced it before, you know, certainly call. I never tell anybody don't call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want anybody to feel that they can't call. If they have a question, all questions are good and important. So everybody should call.
We're talking with Dr. Ellen Lester. She is, of course, a pediatrician. I think you figured that out by now here at White Plains Hospital Medical and Wellness Center. You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio, and this is Health Talk made possible by White Plains Hospital. We send our kids to camp. We send them to school. We send them to preschool. And after you've had one kid, you imagine these now as a whole new atmosphere of germs and other toxins.
Right.
What about that? Should we keep our kids out of these things? Did we just live? How would we keep them from coming home with a virus?
Well, you can't. And in fact, you shouldn't. I mean, everybody should be exposed to things all the time in their environment, in schools. That's how you build up your immunity, you know, in order to stay healthier later on, believe it or not, even though that sounds counterintuitive, you want to be exposed to things earlier and then you can fight them off a little bit later. I think the most important thing is just hand washing. Even just, you know, soap and water is really the best thing to clean with. gels and wipes and things are okay.
Do they help? You're, I'm holding up a bottle of hand sanitizer.
Right, that's why I commented on that.
You made me nervous.
I think, you know, they're good for travel. I mean, really, you know, if you can't get to a sink. I think if you can get to a sink with some hot water and some soap, I think that's really going to be your best bet.
Okay. Now, what about going in the other direction? Little Johnny or little Karen, whatever the case may be, she or he is sick. When do I know when to keep them home? How do I know?
Well, typically, you're going to keep them home. Depending on how high the fever is, usually they're not even allowed back in school. If the fever's over, you know, 100, they'll be sent home. You know, if they have a temperature at school, they'll be sent home and usually have to stay home for about 24 hours until the fever breaks. Otherwise, if they're not running fever and they have a little bit of a runny nose or a cough, they usually can go. But once, if the coughing gets, you know, worse, if they have eye redness or eye drainage, if they develop a rash, obviously vomiting, diarrhea, those types of things would warrant staying home.
What about when they do come home and you've got three other kids and there's you and your husband in your case, me and my wife and mine? How do we all keep from getting sick? Because everyone, I remember when I was a kid, the whole house would be sick at the same time. We'd all be home playing games.
Right. I think it's kind of goes back to what I said before, just, you know, with hygiene and contact and very strict hand washing. We don't realize how many things we touch. If you think about how often you're like touching your face and your eyes and your mouth. So you're just going to want to wash your hands a lot and wipe down surfaces. If the child, especially if the child has pink eye, you're going to want to wash everything, wash towels, wash bedding, and just a lot of, you know, protection that way.
On a practical level, what's the most common thing that you see as a pediatrician today? The people that will walk through these doors this afternoon, what do you see the most of, and particularly in infants?
You mean for sick?
Oh, yes.
You're saying? I would say most commonly, depends on the time of year, really, actually, but mostly fever, colds, ear infections, sore throat, rashes. Those are your typical types of visits.
I wanted to ask you about some of the other infant maladies. When a child is colicking, what is that condition, and what can you do about it other than take sleeping pills for yourself?
Well, I mean, there's some questions, you know, exactly what is it? What is colic? Is it gas? You know, is it associated with gas? And parents will ask, do I change the formula or do I have to give them something? Actually, a lot of thought behind it is that it's more of a developmental.
Is that to say that the colon or those digestive organs are not yet fully developed? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and it's just more of like a immaturity of the neurologic system. They're a little bit hyperstimulated to their environment around that age. They're really not quite, you know, attuned to all the exposures and everything that they're getting. It can just make them a little bit, again, colicky or sensitive or jittery, and they might cry a little bit more often. So that's actually one of the thoughts behind why that happens at that age. And then it tends to go away around 3 months, which is the age when the babies are getting a little bit more acclimated to their environment.
Yeah, my daughter was colicky. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get, nothing I did helped, and then one day it stopped like that. Pediatrics. There are so many fields of medicine. Why this?
I definitely knew when I was in, really when I was in medical school, third year medical school, doing all my different rotations and finished up with my pediatric rotation. That's pretty much when I knew I was going to do it. And it's just something about my association with the kids, relationship with the kids that I'm able to develop. I love seeing them grow up from newborn, through college. I essentially see them all the way through college. And there's just something so special about the type of relationship you can develop, you know, with a child. I love, you know, they'll be sitting on the table and I kind of sit in a chair and I just get up real close and I, you know, talk to them at an eye level. You know, I'll try to be on eye level.
Yeah. Your eyes light up.
Yeah. And you know, especially when they're young and you've been seeing them for a while and then they say your name for the first time, like when they can start talking and my name's a little hard to pronounce, so it's a little bit harder for my name.
Dr. Lest, it's really cute when you hear them say it for the first time in their little voice.
So it's just something really special about kids.
Let's put
kids.
A bow on this. If for the nervous parent out there, what advice would you give them before we go?
I would say trust your instincts. And, you know your child the best. If you think that there's something going on with them, again, feel free to call. Never hesitate to call. We're always here for you.
Okay. Dr. Lest, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My
pleasure.
What a delightful woman. You love what you do. It really comes through. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. You're listening